Globalization in the wine industry is the subject of Mondo Vino, a controversial new documentary by Jonathan Nossiter. Our critic at large, John Powers, has some thoughts on what's lost and what may be gained when cultural traditions come up against a market-driven world economy.
A few weeks ago, I was visiting Hong Kong and met a woman who'd been coming to that city for decades. She'd just spent the afternoon wandering around the central downtown district, looking for the traditional shops and butchers she once loved. She was horrified to see how many of the old places have been replaced by Starbucks outlets and international stores like Armani. She blamed globalization for flattening world culture. Every city, she grumbled, is becoming the same city. I thought about her words as I watched Mondo Vino, a fascinating new documentary by Jonathan Nossiter that has wine people in a dither. The movie is all about the globalizing wine business. You see, winemakers once turned out wines linked to their communities. Each wine embodied a unique terroir, the almost mystical union of a particular soil, a particular climate, a particular grape, even a particular cast of the sun. It was the end of the natural process celebrated by Virginia Madsen's great monologue in Sideways. But these days, as Nossiter shows, winemaking is increasingly ruled by billionaire modernizers like California's Mondavi family. They've snapped up old wineries and used such aging tricks as micro-oxygenation to produce an increasingly homogenized product. Terroir has been replaced by technique. Crusty old grape growers have been supplanted by consultants who flit from vineyard to vineyard, explaining how to tool their wines for international tastes. And these tastes have been hugely shaped by the Alan Greenspan of the international wine market, Maryland-born critic Robert Parker. Parker's ratings can't merely make or break a label. They actually lead international winemakers to alter their products in hopes of satisfying the critics' fondness for so-called fruit bombs. Naturally, Parker himself thinks he's just trying to make the world better, even seeing his success as something of a social breakthrough.
What I'm very proud of is that I think that I brought up an American point of view to this sort of elitist beverage. And particularly in France, I suppose, where there's so much invested with these old families that many of them go back to pre-revolutionary times and have these noble estates and this incredible heritage and history. And here comes this American who comes over and calls your wine a casual picnic wine and, you know, and rates some upstart neighbor that's making a, you know, in my palate, a better wine, gives it a better review. This is incredibly unnerving.
Of course, Parker's detractors view things very differently. They see him as a metaphor for the larger process of globalization, homogenization, and shudder, Americanization. Parker's particular tastes, reinforced by American technique and marketing, have narrowed the range of wines, pushing them toward a generic international standard. Friends of mine who are enophiles, to use an ungainly term for wine nuts, rail against Parker's influence. One even told me he'd rather drink an expensive but disappointing Burgundy than any micro-oxygenated product, no matter how tasty. For him, part of the whole pleasure of wine lies in the diversity of different vintages, different landscapes, different wine cultures. I understood his feeling. As a film critic, I often complain about the way Hollywood's power has crippled other countries' film industries, leading them to ape American-style filmmaking. These days, seemingly every country in the world makes hip movies about hitmen. And if that were the whole story, then the anti-globalizers would be absolutely right. The world is being leveled, reduced. But in fact, things aren't nearly so simple. Truth is, globalization is a question of trade-offs, and these trade-offs often pit our ideals against one another. Take me. I'm all for diversity. I'm as suspicious of corporations as I am of big government. I favor small local shops over today's big boxes. But at the same time, I'm equally in favor of democratized culture. I'm all for Martha Stewart bringing nicely designed products to Kmart. I've bought them. I may complain that Hong Kong is now overrun by Starbucks, but millions of locals are happy with the prosperity it signals. And I couldn't even complain about how Hong Kong isn't what it used to be were it not for democratized mass tourism, which let me buy a cheap ticket. Which brings us back to wine. Mondavino is right that there was something glorious about the old tradition of making wine. Yet it gives short shrift to the one big thing that must be said for the new globalized wine biz. Ordinary people can now afford to drink a quality of wine that was once only enjoyed by the elite. The bottle we buy for $10 is more reliably good than ever before, in part thanks to Parker's celebration of big flavor and Mondavi-style mass marketing. Sure, it may be micro-oxygenated to please mass taste, but frankly, most of us, being part of the masses, won't notice or care. It tastes good. And even if drinking it means we're flattening out the world, at least we have something pleasurable to dull the pain.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue and media columnist for LA Weekly.